translation. Yada.
Yada.
When.
When.
Indriya.
Indriya.
Senses.
Senses.
Uparama.
Uparama.
Satiated. Ata.
Ita.
Thus. Drashatmane.
Drashatmane.
Unto the seer, the super soul.
Unto the seer, the super soul.
Pare.
Pare.
In the transcendence.
In the transcendence.
Haro.
Haro.
Unto the supreme personality of Godhead.
Unto the supreme personality of Godhead.
Viliyante.
Viliyante.
Come merged in.
Come merged in.
Tada.
Tada.
At that time.
At that time.
Kleshaha.
Kleshaha.
Miseries.
Miseries.
Samsuktasya.
Samsuktasya.
One who has enjoyed sound sleep.
One who has enjoyed sound sleep.
Eva.
Eva.
Like. Krishnasa.
Krishnasa.
Completely.
Completely.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. When the senses are satisfied in the seer super soul, the personality of Godhead, and merge in Him, all miseries are completely vanquished as after a sound sleep. Responsibly, when the senses are satisfied,
when the senses are satisfied
in the seer super soul,
the
personality of Godhead,
personality of Godhead,
and merge in Him,
merge in Him,
all miseries are completely vanquished,
all miseries are completely vanquished,
as after a sound sleep,
as after a sound sleep.
The quivering of the living entity as described above is due to these senses. Since the entire material existence is meant for sense gratification, the senses are the medium of material activities and they cause the quivering of the steady soul. Therefore, these senses are to be detached from all such material activities. According to the impersonalist, the senses are stopped from work by merging the soul in the super soul, Brahman. The devotees, however, do not stop the material senses from acting, but they engage their transcendental senses in the service of the transcendence, the supreme personality of Godhead. In either case, the activities of the senses in the material field are to be stopped by cultivation of knowledge, and if possible, they can be engaged in the service of the Lord. The senses are transcendental in nature, but the activities become polluted when contaminated by matter. We have to treat the senses to cure them of the material disease, not to stop them from acting as suggested by the impersonalists. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is 259, it is said that one ceases all material activities only when satisfied by contact with a better engagement. Consciousness is active by nature and cannot be stopped from working. Artificially stopping a mischievous child is not the real remedy. The child must be given some better engagement so that he will automatically stop causing mischief. In the same way, the mischievous activities of the senses can be stopped only by better engagement in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the eyes are engaged in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, the tongue engaged in tasting prasad, or remnants of food cells offered to the Lord, the ears are engaged in hearing His glories, the hands engaged in cleaning the temple of the Lord, the legs engaged in visiting His temples, or when all the senses are engaged in transcendental variegatedness, then only can the transcendental senses become satiated and eternally free from material engagement. The Lord, as the super soul residing in everyone's heart, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world far beyond the material creation, is the seer of all our activities. Our activities must be so transcendentally saturated that the Lord will be kind enough to look upon us favorably and engage us in the transcendental service. Then only can the senses be satisfied completely and be no longer troubled by material attraction. Om Agyanatamarandasya Agyananjanashalakaya Chakshramilitamena Tasmashivirve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisam Savitavyena Bhutale Swamukakadamaya Tadavisaparatikam Mukham Karoti Vashram Pangam Mangayati Girim Yakrikaya Mahamande Shri Guru Dinatari Namaha Pancha Kalpatri Vishra Prasandu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavni Vyavaishnavi Vyavanamo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare
Krishna. When the senses are satisfied in the seer super soul, the personality of Godhead, and merge in him, all miseries are completely vanquished as after sound sleep. So, of course, making it clear, the Bhagavatam is not teaching us the conception of merging to become one with the Absolute. Of course, becoming one in quality, meaning to reinstate ourselves in our original constitutional position, being a part of the Supreme Whole, means becoming his servant. So engaging in this transcendental loving service, not trying to become one with him, or not trying to merge or to become God, as some impersonal groups have said. So this is not the point of the translation. It is more in terms of becoming one in terms of our quality and our constitutional position. So the misery of the conditioned soul, here inquires by the Dura, the miseries of the conditioned soul are stopped when the conditioned soul is removed from that state of ignorance and reinstated in its original constitutional position by being a servant of the Supreme. And service, of course, is seen or is expressed by one's action through the senses one uses in Krishna consciousness. So the Prabhupada first begins, Prabhupada uses a very interesting word. He uses the word quivering, how a living entity is quivering in material existence. Does anyone, do you all know what the meaning of the word quivering is?
Shaking.
Shaking? Yeah. Shaking, or you could say movement caused by being in an unnatural or unhealthy state of being, unnatural environment. So just like a fish out of water, the living entity in material existence is quivering because that is not its natural state of being, natural state of existence. So the problem is that the living entities are conditioned by matter, and we're in this field of action, the material world, which has been created according to this purport. Prabhupada explains that the material existence is created for sense gratification, and therefore the living entity becomes bound or shackled by these material actions, predominantly in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the senses are involved in matter. They are grasped, or they are bound by these ropes. And the problem is that these senses become engaged in sense gratification. The senses become attracted to these sense objects. The mind becomes attracted to sense objects, or these sense objects embed themselves in the mind. So the conditioned soul struggles for existence in this material creation because these senses are constantly under attack, or they are constantly bombarded by material actions. So the way the conditioned soul, of course, frees or rids himself of this bombardment or this quivering nature, this quiveringness of material existence, is to engage the senses, including the mind, in something higher. Not that we stop the action of the senses, which is sometimes trying to be pushed forward as a theory or as a premise that by stopping the senses, by becoming mindless, that one can actually attain peace or happiness. And that is not true according to the Bhakti Shastras. We actually, as living entities, are active by nature. That is the symptom of the soul, and we are meant to engage these senses in something higher and higher activities. So Srila Prabhupada in this purport quotes Bhagavad Gita 2:59, and we will just read that and a little bit from that purport, and to get some more light. Vishaya vinivartante nirahasya dehina rasa varjam rasvapyasa paramdrishva nivartate. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sex objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada further in the purport starts also mentioning about how consciousness is active by nature and it cannot be stopped. The main thing is that a better engagement or a higher engagement has to be given to the mind, to the consciousness, and that is the way that the conditioned soul can become elevated from material existence, that we engage our senses, including the mind, in transcendental activities, that we rid ourselves or we cure the senses by engaging the senses in Krishna consciousness. So it is not possible for our senses to stop being active. The senses need engagement, the senses have sense objects. So we have to use those senses for a higher cause. Now the example given in the purport, of course, is by very explicitly Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the senses can be used and purified to taste that transcendental nature, aloof or away from the lower modes or the lower energy. So similarly in Bhagavad Gita, the example of course is given of Ambarish Maharaj, who was engaging all aspects of his being, his body, his mind, in service of the Lord. So also here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving a very simple explanation how one can use one's eyes, one's tongue, one's legs in service of the Lord. And by doing that, one is curing themselves of the material disease of contaminated senses. So there's no, there's no magic or some magic cure or some wishy-washy process. The process, it is very simple. Prabhupada puts it here very, very simply that one engages these senses with determination, of course, in a higher activity. So we are used to being in this material world, and working and engaging in so many different activities, engaging in the external energy. Now what needs to be done by the living entity is that in order for us to actually be completely free from the shackles of material existence, we have to just turn around those actions and steer them in the right light towards Krishna directly. Indirectly, we're trying through the external energy, and that is not satisfactory for the living entity. The living entity can only become completely happy, completely free, if they engage in unaware devotional service. So this is something that sometimes people say, okay, if that's the case, I will believe it only if I see your God, if I see your Krishna, or if I see your spiritual world, etc. Because people are used to seeing things. They say seeing is believing. So unless I see, I don't believe. But of course, here we have a full spectrum that there's more than one sense to perceive the Absolute Person. There's more than one sense of being in a relationship. Even in mundane relationships, you can think about a person. Well, we can use our mind, we can engage our mind or consciousness in thoughts of a person. We can talk about a person to experience their personality. We can eat foodstuffs that have been cooked by a person to experience that love and reciprocation. We taste their relationship in the food. When the mother cooks or when whoever cooks for us, we can taste, yes, this has been cooked by mother, this has been cooked by husband or wife or whatever. So there's more than one way of actually being, there's more than one way of experiencing Krishna. But people are always caught up on just seeing Krishna. They do not understand that I have more than one sense that I can experience the Supreme Person. So just as we can hear about Krishna's pastimes, we can be engaged in Krishna's smarana, we can be remembering Krishna's pastimes. So the different senses are there for us to be able to perceive Krishna, for us to be able to experience Krishna. It just doesn't stop with our eyes. We have the example of the Chechen Charchamucha, the illiterate Brahmana who couldn't read, but he had understood the gist of the Bhagavad Gita from hearing about Krishna, from remembering Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield. So he couldn't see, he couldn't read, but by his qualification of remembrance and of course his purity and his attachment to Krishna Katha, he experienced Krishna. So sometimes because of being in the material world, we get stuck on one point only. I can't see Krishna, therefore Krishna doesn't exist. But we have more than one sense that we experience so many things with. So just like here, Prabhupada is explaining, we can use the tongue, we can use the mind, we can use our ears, we can use all these senses to perceive the Supreme Person, to be able to elevate our consciousness, to purify our mind. And towards the end, Prabhupada does explain that when we do this, when we act like this, the Lord is seen as the super soul. So the super soul is in the heart. Once again, we cannot see the super soul, so we're thinking, super soul is somewhere being inactive. I cannot see him orchestrating or arranging things for me. There's no door that I can open and have a meeting with him. Okay, super soul, can we speak about my visa? Can we speak about my ashram? Can we speak about my sadhana? Can you fix these for me? Bow down, walk out of the room. The super soul is actually in the heart. And we understand that the super soul is sanctioning, permitting, and overseeing all the actions of every single living entity. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport here explains that when our activities are transcendentally saturated, when we have a focus on serving Krishna, then the super soul makes arrangements and he looks upon us favorably and engages us in devotional service. So everything that is coming to us is orchestrated and it is arranged by the Lord. It's not that the Lord is just sitting in the heart doing nothing. Just because we cannot see the Lord making arrangements for all these activities, he's explaining himself. This is what I do. In the Bhagavad Gita, he explains that I, super soul dwelling in your heart, am directing all the wanderings of living entities. The super soul, Krishna himself, is explaining himself. What better way to actually hear and understand when someone gives his case, when someone is representing himself? This is who I am and this is what I do. So the super soul is there, he is active. And when he sees that our devotional service is saturated, he awards us by engaging us in devotional service. And in that way, that is the only way the senses can become satisfied completely. Another name for Krishna is Rishikesh, the master of the senses. He knows how best to engage the senses to their fullest capacity, to their full satisfaction. Right? We try through the material energy to satisfy the senses, and it's not full satisfaction. There is always a lacking. Because these are just material sensual activities. The material senses are coming in contact with material sound, material form, material touch, material taste. But if you take the same senses and you engage them in transcendental tasting, transcendental hearing, then they become purified. So we're not numbing our senses, we're not suppressing the senses, we're engaging them in a higher activity. And by such engagement, and when the Lord catches note of that, he increases our opportunities for performing devotional service, and our senses become more and more satisfied. There's no more material attraction. So it's not that we just want to become free from misery. In the beginning phase, of course, we have kleshagni and the weight of material energy is slightly removed and we feel lighter. We understand what is reality, what is temporary, what is real. We start understanding. So that weight of being in the material world, having all that burden of conforming to material standards of life is removed, because now we have the knowledge. We have knowledge of who we are and what we're not. And that is just the beginning phase. We have to go beyond that. So there's different philosophies that will try to explain that the ultimate goal is about ending our suffering, right? To break out of the cycle of karma. Different types of Buddhist philosophy talk like that. Some philosophies, some type of impersonalism speaks about how one wants to become merged into Brahman, and that merging, that inactive that inactive state, or that so-called merging or liberation, it is the absolute or the topmost way of understanding the absolute truth. So stopping to suffer means we want to become one with the Brahman, and therefore, because there is no there's no birth, there's no death, therefore that is the topmost place to be and engage in service. But that in itself, it is not true, because according to the impersonalist philosophy, Brahman is devoid of quality. There's no attachment to anything, there's no action, there's no sweetness, there's no pastime. Their realization leaves very, very little room for happiness. The living entity by nature is happy. Anandamaya Vyasa, it is pleasure seeking. So the Brahman conception of happiness does not leave any room for that. It does not leave any room at all. So just because one wants to merge or stop suffering does not mean that they have actually attained the highest goal of transcendence. The highest goal of transcendence is only achieved when one actually knows that source, when actually one transcends, one goes beyond that Brahman, that effulgence, that temporary state. One understands the source of that Brahman, one understands the source of the super soul from within, the all-pervasive nature. One understands Bhagavan. Yes, he is Nirguna, he is beyond or above the modes of nature. Sometimes he's explained also as being Saguna, no qualities at all. So sometimes it seems or it looks like there are contradictions within the Shastra themselves about the quality of this Brahman. I'm without quality, I'm without form. Okay, I will become that qualityless, formless, I will merge into that. But that it's pertaining to material quality, material form. Brahman does not, we as Brahman, as spirit soul, we do not have in our perfection. We are not matter, but we are spirit. So we have a spiritual form. Similarly, our source, our foundation also has a spiritual form. That is why Krishna is also referred to as being Nirguna. He does not have any material qualities, because he is all spirit. So, when one comes to this understanding, when one knows by higher taste, so developing a taste for the person, the personality, or the personalist understanding of the absolute truth is higher than just the understanding of the all-pervasive energy, which leaves no room for happiness. As I mentioned, the philosophy of non-active, no form, no quality, no sweetness, no exhibition of different attributes is less of as compared to understanding the personal form, the person's understanding, the philosophy. It goes beyond that. So when one is fixed in that understanding by developing a higher taste, developing a taste to hear, to see Krishna, to engage in Krishna's service, then these lower tendencies of being attracted to inferior material energy, which is what material existence is composed of, it slackens off. So the more we engage in devotional service, the more our taste will rise for hearing about Krishna, and the more the super soul will create situations where we continue to perform more and more devotional service. And in that way, we cure ourselves of this material disease, which is the senses becoming attracted to material sense objects. So once this material disease is cured, our senses are put back in their original state. Our senses are being used to serve the master of the senses, Rishikesh. So in that way, as the Lord resides in everyone's heart, He creates opportunities for further and further realization, further and further service, to realize this point that by engaging my body and my senses, which is more than just one, by engaging my body and my senses, I can go beyond material sense gratification, which only leads to suffering. So this is how we can detach our senses from material existence, by engaging them in a higher service. And the higher service, of course, is to engage in Krishna service, devoid of any material quality. So the process of Shravan, Kirtan, and Vishnu Snaranam, and so on, is meant to lead us to that point where our senses are free from material disease. Our senses are put back in their original state of serving the Supreme Whole, who is all spiritual. So, this is a bona fide process. Of course, the entire Bhagavad Gita is Krishna speaking about himself, speaking about his nature, speaking about the nature of his Dhamma as well. And by performing devotional service, we attach ourselves not only to Krishna, but to also his abode, which is same in quality. So it is also spiritual. It is free from any anxiety, any material energy. And Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita, in the verse Param Brahman Param Dhamam Pavidam Pavitram Param Bhavam. So Krishna's, not only his personality, but also his abode, is eternal and is pure. So there's no material qualities within the realm of Goloka Vrindavan or any of the planets in the spiritual world. And these places are achieved when one has gone through this process of attaching our senses, attaching our mind to the service of the Supreme Person in pure consciousness. So these inquiries by Vidura are for us to see what happens, what are the processes that we can perform to actually cure the disease of our material senses, which are just attracted to material taste, form, touch, smell, etc. And how we can use those same senses in serving Krishna. So just as we have a surgeon has a knife, and with that knife, if he has the right consciousness and if he has the right knowledge, he can save a life. But if that same knife is in the hands of someone whose consciousness is very degraded, who has no knowledge, that same tool can be used to cause harm. So in the material world, our senses without direction, our senses when they're afflicted by the material duality of cessation, they lead to bondage. But those same senses, if they are put in the fire of devotional service, they lead to real liberation. And real liberation meaning to reinstate ourselves as servants of Krishna, not the liberation of merging into Brahman, or the liberation of escaping the cycle of birth and death. This is explained in different places to be a mode of ignorance. We had Bhagavad Tamrita speaks when Gopa Kumar is going to the different places, and the four Kumars are explaining to him and in conversation with the different Upanishads and the different Vedas, they're speaking about how these this type of liberation of wanting to merge into Brahman, one, or just escaping the cycle of birth and death, is in the mode of ignorance, because it still does not attach one to their real state, their real consciousness, being an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So in that state, the process of Krishna consciousness takes us in a very, very safe direction of becoming one with the Lord in terms of quality. We come back to our original consciousness. Yes, I am spirit by nature. I am part and parcel of the Supreme Person. So we become one with Him in terms of our quality. We remember that I am also spirit soul. I am also Brahman. And I am eternally connected to the Parabrahman. So by that connection, I act in Krishna consciousness with my senses. And in that state, we are relieved of all our miseries, just as the example is given, just as if one has woken from sound sleep. So this is what is attainable by engaging the senses in the service of Krishna. And in that way, we can break free from being conditioned souls in the material world, and we can go back to the transcendental situation of being a servant of the Lord and expressing that through devotion, pure devotional service. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. In the city. How do you control your eyes? When you're in the city, how do you control your eyes? Yes, there's different stops, different types of stimulus all over the place, especially the city. So one practice you could do, you could always try to see Krishna wherever you go, even in the city. You don't have to look in the shops. You don't have to look at the people doing all sorts of things. You can look at this, a little bit of nature in the city. You can see the trees, or you can see the sky, you can see the sun. You can see the living entities walking up and down as if they're lost. You can see them as parts of Krishna, that are parts and parcels of Krishna that have been lost. So when I'm in the city, I try to use my eyes to, as you know, the chapter 10 in Bhagavad Gita, how you can see Krishna through nature, or how you can see Krishna in the material world. Whether you hear a sound, or you see a tree, or the sky, or the sun, try to liken it to Krishna. Try to remind yourself of the shlokas that Krishna gives. Oh, I'm the light of the sun, or I'm the sky, I'm of taste, I'm water, you try to think like this, and when you look at something, you look at a feather, peacocks, you think of peacocks. Or you look at a certain color, oh, that's kind of like a bluish, blackish hue. That could be what Krishna looks like. That could be Krishna's complexion. Different things. So a nice thing to do, to meditate on, is to read this 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where you can get ways you can take Shastra with you and see it around you. So learning how to see through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshus. So wherever you go, we can learn through nature. So when you hear sounds, or when you hear, you understand that the original sound is coming from Krishna. So you can take that sound and just strip it of its material dampness, and take it back to its source. And you can think just how wonderful and how artistic Krishna is. He creates so many sounds. In a lecture I was hearing on Krishna book, I think it was Dravida Prabhu, he was explaining how all the rasas are emanating from Krishna's, nor all arts are coming from Krishna's rasa-lila, the art of dance, the art of cooking, the art of painting, the art of fashion. Everything is coming from Krishna. So we can see that when people are very artistic, when they can dance really well, or when they speak well, we understand this is an opulence of Krishna. So try to always take it back to Krishna. Strip it of all these material inequities and try to take it back to Krishna, because He's the source of all these things. Any other question or comment? For devotional service.
Yeah, but do you hear the Supersoul is just a witness and sanctioner? How the Supersoul is creating an opportunity for us to.
Okay, so what does it mean when someone sanctions? It means they allow for certain things to happen, they oversee, so they are sending persons, they are allowing you to have realizations. Because there is that verse that speaks that. How does it begin? The verse that speaks about how all the imports of the Vedas are revealed in the heart of a disciple. It's a very common verse. Okay, the gist of it is any pastime of. It's from one of the Upanishads. It speaks about how one knowledge gets revealed in the heart of a disciple by the mercy, by the blessings of the Lord, the Guru. So in the pastime of King Puranjana, in that entire allegory, there's a purport where Srila Prabhupada is explaining how when the conditioned soul is not qualified sometimes to even hear the dictates of the super soul manifests as the spiritual master. So in that sense, just the fact that the Lord sees that we are ready, we are sincere, the Lord from within will send us His representative. So the spiritual master is engaging us in so many types of devotional service and training us in devotional service. So in that way, this is the Lord's way of saying, I am making arrangements for you to grow spiritually. So He's arranging different things every single day in our lives for our spiritual advancement. Depending on, of course, the more transcendentally saturated we are with the desire to serve Krishna, the more we'll be able to actually realize and see it happening before us. So whatever opportunity, or however the opportunity comes, we see that it is Krishna making an arrangement for my growth in Krishna consciousness. So just as the Pandavas, they saw their situation, Queen Kunti saw her situation as these obstacles were there for the Lord to increase our attachment and our service for Him. So we see with a certain type of lens different types of situation. The same situation could have been seen by another as, Krishna, you left us when we needed you the most. But one who has that clear vision, that faith in the Lord, could understand that these are ways of the Lord to try and make our love for Him saturated. So the super soul is creating opportunities to hear the glories of Krishna, opportunities to associate with the devotees. These things are not happening by chance, but the Lord Himself personally gets involved in the life of devotees who are trying to serve Him and surrender by trying to assist in our devotional service. Yes,
especially the
and jump up and down and say, put my name on the roster, I'll do it for me. Well, there's different reasons. We're all individuals and we have our different obstacles, our different things that we're working on. But sometimes I do not want to speculate. I can only give from my own personal example. Sometimes it's just we don't trust Krishna enough. Sometimes we don't want to surrender. That is there. You know, we are rebellious conditioned souls in the material world. Some qualities in a very subtle form might be there. And this is what I think of. In the material world, how many people here have like professional jobs apart from devotional service? Who here works in an office or something, something? Okay. So how long did it take you to study what you're doing now?
3 years.
3 years. And before that, we did our whole primary school, secondary school, tertiary, we went to college, university. You know, there's some professions that you study for 10 years. If you're going to be a doctor, if you do your PhD, your master's, you're studying for years. And then you get a job and then you slowly climb up the ladder. And then hopefully by the time you're 60, you've made it. You're the CEO. Right? You're the chief. And then it's not as great, or you die after 2 years. There was this example of the youngest manager of McDonald's years ago. He was 42, and he got that, he had been working hard for 22 years to get there. And then after he got that CEO post, he found out he had cancer and he died. But he was asked by his colleagues, you know, you worked so hard, was it worth it? He's like, yes, it was worth it. 22 years, I started flipping burgers. He started like that. So I think out there for the material energy, I'll put 22 good years in to get that position. But for Krishna, Krishna asked me to do service with nice people in the best place, with best food, best music. And I sometimes do it begrudgingly. So that is what the material, that's what association with the material energy has done to us. That we get given a plate of food, right, with a golden plate, and we're kind of like, maybe you could have made it like this and like that, and just take out the raisins, I like this best. But when we're out there serving the material energy, we don't mind doing 30 years of hard labor to get what we want. But for Krishna, sometimes it's just like, you know, Krishna, it's just Krishna all the time, Krishna. As soon as I wake up, it's Krishna. And then I have to serve Krishna, and then I have to come back and then see Krishna at RT, and then I have to cook for Krishna, I have to offer everything to Krishna. And it's just like Krishna every 2 hours I chant Krishna's name. So we shouldn't cheat Krishna. So this is what I think of. If I'm not enthusiastic to serve Krishna, I think of how enthusiastic I was as a tennis player. Wake up at 7, run 5 kilometers every day, practice, go to the gym twice a day, travel, be in the scorching heat, hitting a ball, right, to win a few matches. Yes, I did it. But for Krishna, wake up in the morning, you smell nice incense, you're offering flowers, you're seeing beautiful forms, you're eating good food, cooked in good consciousness, you don't have to pay. It's just like, really? This is what Krishna is giving you and you're hesitant? So sometimes we don't trust Krishna enough. We trust the material energy and think, well, there I could get what I want, but Krishna is demanding too many things. But if we really think about it with an honest heart, Is Krishna that demanding? Is what he's demanding really painful? No, it's not. Krishna is giving us the best life, and after this we go to his supreme abode. All Krishna is saying is, think of me, become my friend, chant my name, eat my foodstuffs. It's beneficial for you. So sometimes we're not forthcoming because we're a little, hey Krishna, what are you going to do and how are you going to purify me? I don't know, you know Krishna, you're a bit tricky. You leave people in the middle of the night and this devotee went through so much. But if you read about Krishna, the person, we'll understand that Krishna is very sweet, Krishna is very kind to his devotees. So if we understand the person Krishna, if we study Krishna's personality in relation with his devotees and how Krishna takes care of his devotees, then we won't have any reservation. So sometimes the reservation on our part is that we have trust issues with Krishna. Granted, because we've been in the material world and we've been burnt. We have been misused, abused, exploited, disappointed. But we have to let that go because Krishna is not into that. Krishna is the ultimate, he's a well-wisher. So when we engage in Krishna's service, if we stop fighting Krishna, we will have that loving reciprocation. But when we fight with Krishna, it's just so uncomfortable. Oh, Krishna, I did too much service. I did my 6 hours, I talked in bus. Right out there, yes, overtime, no pay, yes, yes, boss, yes, boss. But Krishna is the best boss because he's not in to exploit us. So sometimes we don't have enough trust. Sometimes our faith hasn't developed. But the more we read and hear about Krishna, that will develop. And when we see other devotees surrendering their lives and doing so much for Krishna in a very happy way, that's why it's a good example to show being happy in Krishna consciousness. People will see, this does work. This person is working so hard in bhakti and they're so happy. It's true. So even just being happy in Krishna consciousness, and when I'm saying being happy, I don't mean that all our material problems are sorted out by Krishna, our bank balance, etc. No. I'm talking about being happy, understanding that, yes, I've come to the right place, I'm serving Krishna, therefore I'm happy. Right? Completely satisfied serving Krishna. That's the only way our senses will actually be satisfied, by engaging them in Krishna's service. There's no other way. So we have to get over that hurdle of not trusting Krishna or being fearful, associate with devotees. That encouragement will come and read about Krishna, hear about Krishna, and we'll trust Krishna. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Ranchvai Shimabhavatam. Thank you.